The Lord said, do a study in 1 Timothy, so this is where we are. I read this last Sunday, so I'm just going to start from the beginning, and I'm not going to read the whole passage of Scripture, but I'm just going to start from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, and we're just going to kind of read through here and comment on some things. I think one of the things that I felt impressed of as I was doing a study on 1 Timothy or reading through here, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to impress on you three words. And I asked you to write them down last Sunday, and I don't think we ever got to them. So we'll try to get to them this morning. I won't guarantee we'll get there, but we'll try. But those three words were grace. That was number one. Mercy was number two. And peace was number three. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. How many of you have hope? Do you know what a hope means? Hope means that we have that hope that the Holy Spirit gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that hope that our sins are forgiven, that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And that when we pass away here, if we do pass away here, we immediately, just like Jesus said to the thief on the cross when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into my kingdom. Jesus looked at him while they were hanging on the cross and he said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. Amen. And that we know that the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All of these are our hopes. Amen. And they become more than hope because also there's faith added to that. And that hope, faith in God, that our hope is sure and steadfast and reaches into the veil, behind the veil, into the very throne room of God. So that now as Jesus died on the cross, that veil that was in the temple in Jerusalem was torn from the top to the bottom. That veil, which had only the high priest could go in once a year, and that without blood, he had to go in there behind that veil. And it's sufficient to me that when Jesus said, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit, and he dismissed his spirit, that veil was torn in half from the top to the bottom. That means God tore it and said, now, from now on, through the death of my son, because he carried your sins in his body on the tree, you're now welcome into my presence. You can come into my throne room. You can come. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that because we need to know where we stand in our relationship with God. Amen? We always need to know where we stand in our relationship with God because without that hope and without that assurance, we're going to have trouble getting along in this life because we need Him. We need Him to know. We need to know He loves us. We need to know He's with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And that is our blessed hope. Amen? Verse 2. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was always saying to those to whom he was writing, and oftentimes I think to those who to whom he was speaking, grace be multiplied to you. Mercy be multiplied to you. Peace be unto you. So I want to talk about, let's just talk about grace for just a minute. Grace is, it's a divine influence. One of the Bible dictionaries says that grace is it has to do in our spirits, and it's especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflections in the life. It includes grace includes and brings with it gratitude. I never did really, I think I said this to you before, when I was growing up in my teenage, I'm telling you, my parents, they loved me, but they didn't like some of the things I did too much. I'm so thankful that they had grace. They loved me. Along with that, later on, I realized that my mom and my dad, and I didn't want to really have anything to do with God. I went to church. My mom brought me to church, and I was brought up in church. I joined the church when I was 12, was baptized when I was 12, but I never did know who God was. And when I was 18 years old, almost 19, I went to church and I felt God's Spirit. I don't know you. Don't want you in my life. I hadn't cared for you. I've been religious. I just need to be saved. So I just came down to the altar and knelt down, and I don't even remember how I prayed. It didn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference exactly how you prayed when you came to the altar. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when we come to the Lord, He knows why we're coming. He knows everything. Amen. And when we call out to Him, He hears and answers our prayers. And the first thing that He does then, inside of us, in our spirits, we're born again by the Spirit of God. And that's when we first experience God's grace. And the first thing it did with me was not only to experience His forgiveness, and I knew, I didn't really fully understand everything that happened to me at that time, but I did know that something happened to me. Amen? And I don't care where you were saved or how you got saved. If you were saved, you know that God did something in your life. Amen? And the first thing that you know is that because the first thing that you have, or that I did, and I think everybody's the same way, the first thing that happens to somebody when we know we don't deserve anything, we can't earn it, we can't get it any other way, except God just has mercy. And when that happens in our lives, the first thing that happened to me was I had some gratitude. I was thankful. I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but in my appreciation and in my gratitude for what He had done for me, I wanted to do something back in turn for Him. Amen? And so I remember not too long after that, that I was stationed at Foster Air Force Base in Victoria, Texas. I think I've shared that with y'all before. I joined the military to see the world. I went to San Antonio for basic training and spent the rest of my enlistment in Victoria, Texas. I really got to see a lot of the world, let me tell you. The only time I went out, I went to Georgia with the 101 Airborne for 90 days or 3 months. And anyway, grace, gratitude. But I remember in Victoria, Texas, that's what I was going to tell you, and I remember this till the day I die. I came home to the apartment in which Pat and I were living. We didn't have any children at that time. We hadn't been married very long. And I went out in my backyard. I was sensing His grace, and my heart was so full of gratitude and appreciation for what He had done for me. I didn't fully, completely understand what all He did do for me. I don't know that I really understand it all today. But I understand a whole lot more than I did then. But I did have that sense of gratitude and appreciation. I remember a norther was coming in. And you know how here in South Texas you can look off over to the north and the black clouds coming. You know that there's a norther coming. The wind's beginning to pick up. And that's what was going on that day in Victoria, Texas, when I stood out in my backyard and I raised my hands Nobody, I never did even know you're supposed to raise your hand. I think I'll raise my hands. I don't even know what all I did, but I do know I said this. And lightning was flashing, and I said, Lord, I give my life to you. You gave your life to me. You gave your son for me. I give my life to you. And if you can't use me, just send lightning right now and just strike me, because I don't want to live. And brother, he took me serious. And it wasn't after that, you know, a lot of my friends that I run around with, some of them as crazy as I was, maybe, I think I was maybe crazier than any of them, but one of them, after we started this church in 1979, I surrendered to preach right after that on a Sunday morning. I didn't know what to do. I just talked to the pastor, and he said, well, Lewis, you don't have to surrender to the mission field, and you don't have to know specifically where you're going to do or what you're going to do or what God wants you to do. You just say, here, God, here's my life. And that's all I did. I said, I went down that Sunday morning right after I prayed that prayer, whatever day that was of the week, and I went down, and when I was at church Sunday, I was on a Wednesday night, I heard a preacher preaching about giving your life to the Lord, and I'd already done that, but I didn't know. I thought you were supposed to surrender to go to Africa or China or wherever you're supposed to be. I didn't know any better, so I went and talked to the pastor. He told me that was on a Wednesday night after, or the Thursday morning after that Wednesday night service, and I went and talked to him. He said, you just come and give your life to the Lord. Let him take care of all of that. He'll show you what you want. He need to do. And so I did that, and I received God's grace, and it filled me with appreciation that he loved me, that he could even love somebody like me. And I had a gratitude and appreciation. I realized that grace is a benefit. Amen? It benefits us. It shows us that we were way outside of God's favor. As far as we know, he didn't love us at all. And now, all of a sudden, we're one of his children and we're in his favor. We're one of his special children. Amen? And we're blessed. He shows us, he gives us his favor. It's a gift. We didn't earn it. We always understand it's a gift. It's a gift. Don't deserve it. Couldn't deserve it. But God's given it to me, and he's shown me his favor, and it gives me also a liberality, a joy in being free. For the first time in my life, I didn't really understand that, and I just really not sure I could even explain it, but for the first time, because I was a recipient of his grace, I felt like I was free. Anybody ever feel that way? You feel like you just feel like you're free. You're not bound up by religious do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, trying to save yourself or wondering what you're going to do to get saved or how you're going to find God's favor. You're set free. You're free. And you know that you have that freedom. I don't know how to explain that. How do you explain to somebody that? If a man's in a jailhouse and he knows he's in a jailhouse, right? And they come and unlock the door and said, you're free. You know, well, why? Well, somebody's paid the price for you, right? And he can go free and be happy. There's a joy in salvation that comes. And I think part of that joy that comes is not only just knowing and being a recipient of God's grace and that we have God's favor, and that we're one of his children and that we're accepted in his sight, but I believe that we realize somehow we're free for something. And we learn later on that we're free from that prison in which we were held by the enemy. That we didn't realize it, but we may have even thought in our religious do's and don'ts, because I was religious and I went to church and did all of those things and got baptized and all of that. But I wasn't free. I didn't know what God's favor meant. I didn't know what God's love meant, because I had just gone through some religious moments and some religious things before I had ever come to Him and said, Lord, I have mercy, save me. After that, I had that freedom. I had that feeling of acceptance, that joy that let me know it's a done thing. All I have to do is just live it. And then I found out, because the enemy brought some things in my life, and we're going to have spiritual warfare. Amen. We'll get to that. Timothy starts talking about that. But because we do have spiritual war, one of the first things the enemy tries to do is to get us to doubt. Well, what do you think? You think God could love somebody like you? Tries to bring up our past, bring up our sins, bring up our failures, bring up the way we are. Because we're just, at that point in time, we're just babes in Christ. We haven't grown. The Bible says that grace that we become recipients of that set us free, we need to grow in that. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Grow in the grace. Grow in the knowledge. So, as I was saying last Sunday, we grow in the love. We have more understanding of God's love. We have more understanding of who we are, and then we have more understanding of Him. We know who He is and what He did and what we're supposed to do, and He has given us a conscience. Our consciousness comes, and our conscience doesn't condemn us anymore. Before that, if our conscience come at all, and we felt guilty, we felt condemned. Right? That went away. That's part of that freedom. That's a part of that grace of God, the love of God that passes knowledge. So when Paul is praying for Timothy, and as he did to just about all the churches, I want grace to come to you. I want you to understand that grace that you have. I want you to understand that pleasure, that joy, what God has done for you. He set you free. The other thing He says is mercy. Mercy means, basically, there's a feeling of compassion. It's a tenderness. It's, whereas before, I didn't even want to really know God, and if I did think about Him at all, I thought of Him in the terms of, well, if He really knew who I was, He'd probably just take His thumb and just smash me. You know, if it had been me, that's what I'd have done. Thank God it wasn't me. It was Him. And so He had mercy, grace and mercy. Because you see, even after we're saved, sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we're going to get in the flesh. Sometimes we're going to do things. We're not perfect. Boy, I'll tell you that real quick. Anybody thinks I'm perfect? I'm looking at a perfect preacher. He's been living for the Lord for, you know, 60, 70, whatever years. No, I failed many, many, many times. Bad. I haven't always done what He wanted me to do. I didn't keep the Ten Commandments. I didn't love God with all of my heart. There's sometimes when God wanted me to do something and I didn't do it. And I knew He wanted to do it. And I could tell you some of those stories. And that was a horrible experience. And one of the first, when I was sitting in the church one time, and God, I don't even want to go into it. They're just, let me tell you something. I needed God's mercy. I still need God's mercy. I still need God's mercy. And so when I can come and feel being condemned by conscience or by something that I've done or something that I did. I need to be able to come before His grace, and I need to feel that He's having mercy on me. He understands. He understands who I am. He understands where we are. He understands what's going on. He understands our battles and our struggles. He understands what the enemy's trying to do to us. And so He just pours out mercy. And when we come to Him, He said, I know. Here's mercy. Come on in. Come on in. Here's mercy. I understand. I forgive you. My Son bore that sin in His body on the cross. He took it for you so I can show you my mercy. I can show you my forgiveness. I can show you my strength. I can show you my house, that you're a part of my home, a part of my family. So we need that compassion. We need to understand that God has that mercy for us. So we have God's grace and we have God's mercy. And that's why Paul is praying for all the churches, grace and mercy be multiplied unto you. We need that. And then the third thing that we need is we need peace. And we don't just, I don't know exactly how to put this, but we need a peace. and I've often thought about this scripture. We need that peace that passes understanding. How do you understand something that's past your understanding? You with me? It's what I see of that is when I've done something, I've broken God's heart or whatever I've done, and I sense that He still loves me. I sense His grace. I sense His mercy, and that I feel that peace of acceptance. I have peace with God that I can't figure out. I can't understand. I don't deserve, and I know I don't deserve it, but I have it anyway. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We have a peace that we can't understand, we can't explain. We just know that God gave me a peace that just passes everything that I don't deserve it. It's just a peace that passes all understanding. In the Greek, the word for peace, and I was going to put that down from the dictionary, and I didn't, but the primary word for peace was, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it means to join. Look up here. It means to be joined. It means that I have that peace of oneness. It's a rest. It's that at one-ment. It's that knowing or an understanding to whatever degree that when I came to God and I realized that I don't deserve it and I didn't need it, but what I needed all the time to be saved and to know that I was saved was to have that oneness with Him. He's accepted me. I'm one with Him. And He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That at one-ment, that atonement that Jesus brought on the cross when I came and you came and we came and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. He brought us into that one-ment with Himself. And we realized that that's what we had been looking for all along. That's what we needed. We need that one at one moment. We need to know that God's not over here and I'm over here and there's a great gulf fixed between us and I can't get there to Him. We need to know that through the cross that God reached out on this side and reached out on that side through the arms of His precious Son. And when He said, God, into Your hands, I commit my spirit, that He just came together like this in Christ. In Christ. You'll read that over and over again in the New Testament. In Christ we have that at-one-ment. In Christ we have that grace. In Christ we have that acceptance. In Christ we're at one with Him and we have the peace of God that passes all of our understanding. We don't deserve it. We can't figure out how. We just understand. We just look at the cross and say, thank You, Lord. Amen. So grace and peace. Mercy, grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace. And it's, listen, in verse 2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, grace, mercy, and peace from, where is it coming from? What's the source of it? God. Not only now is God the source of it, but He says, God, our Father. We now have where we were without a relationship with Him, where we didn't know Him and He was far from us. Now we come into His presence, and now because of that peace, that at-one-ment, we now call Him, and we don't have any problem doing it. We say, our Heavenly Father. That's what caused so much problems for the religious crowd in Jesus' day, because He said, God is my Father. And when He was preaching, He was telling the crowd, God doesn't want you just to be religious. He wants to be your Heavenly Father. He come introducing Himself and God His Father as the Heavenly Father. He's our Father that's in heaven. He's our Father who is the creator and sustainer of all the whole universe. He's the God with whom all things are possible. I am the Lord, He says, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for Me? So there is a confidence in several ways, and I don't even have the words to even that quietness and that rest and that relationship, so that when we come to Him, we know that He loves us, we're accepted, and we can ask, isn't that what Jesus said? Hitherto have you not asked anything. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. God loves you. He sent Me. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to make a way for you to be able to come. And then now you can pray to your Heavenly Father with whom all things are possible. There's not anything too difficult for Him. Now, I don't mean go out and, I love to fly. Commercial pilot, multi-engine rating. Have all these things to be able to fly. I can't afford it. Now, I could go out there and say, God, would You please give me an airplane? Now, I would love to be able to do that, but I can't do that in faith. All honesty, I can't pray the prayer of faith. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't like to have one. Are you with me? So that doesn't mean when He's our Heavenly Father and we're joined together and He hears and answers our prayers, but we don't ask for foolish things, but we do when we pray. When we pray for something, we know if it's in God's will and if it's God. In other words, You can pray for a wife. You can pray for a husband. You can pray for a child. God's, whenever you pray for someone who's lost or someone who's backslidden, you can be sure you're praying right, because God loves them and He's not willing that any should, it is not God's will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when you pray, you can pray with confidence and assurance that you have that at one moment and God is hearing your prayer, and you can be assured you can pray the prayer of faith with all of your heart, because you know God loves them just as much as He loves you, and they don't even know it yet, but He has a way. If we pray for them, God's not willing that, I remind Him of this as I pray, and I have everybody in this place, I pray for you every day. I've got a four or five page prayer list. It's so long. It takes me, if I really spend some time praying for each one, it may take me an hour, because I call your name. I call your name. And some people, I know your circumstances and situations. Some of them I don't, but God does. There's some of them I wouldn't even want you to come tell me your situation and circumstances. I don't need to know. I just need to know whatever it is, God can take care of it. And I know that wherever you are, God loves you and He cares for you. And if I ask Him, supply W.A.'s needs, amen, supply Don's needs, to supply Lonnie's needs, I know that He's going to do that, because I'm asking Him and because He loves you more than I do. And I can pray with, it's just wonderful. I don't want to come into the presence of God and ask Him for something and then don't believe that He will give it to me. I want to pray, the Bible says, pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not a hope so, think so, maybe so type of thing. It's a prayer of assurance. It's not just a prayer of hope. It's a prayer of knowing. It's knowing that God wants to answer that prayer. It's knowing that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. It's knowing that your Heavenly Father wants to supply all of our needs in, according to His riches in glory. Amen? All things are possible with God. Amen? That's what He wants, and that's what I want. And so we can pray with that assurance and that confidence, and when we do that, that is that peace, that is that rest, that is that quietness, that is that hope, that is that assurance. Do you have that? Boy, get into the Word of God, grow in the grace and mercy. It's the grace and mercy and peace doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God our Father. And the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you look at that verse 2, and I'm still on verse 2, it comes from God, and the means of Him getting it to us, it says here, from God our Father, and look at verse 2, the rest of it says, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? That's the avenue. That's the road. That's the name. That's the person. That God can do, He can give us His grace. He can give us His mercy. He can give us His peace, because it's His Son bought all of that. He purchased our redemption. He purchased that grace and that peace and that love and all of that for us, so that we can have the benefits and the joy of it. Amen? Boy, I feel like shouting. Ooh. Praise God. And we need to be reminded of that, because I'm afraid sometimes circumstances and situations in this world being as such as they are, where we all have trials, we all have problems, we all have things that we're faced and things where the enemy comes and tries to worry us with a broken automobile or a house falling apart or a job, a boss that doesn't like us or, you know, whatever it is. And there's 1,001 things it can be. That can God give us the peace in that situation? And He's saying to us, are you ready? He's saying to you, and I don't care what your situation is right now, wherever you are in this world, God is saying to you, don't worry about anything. I got it. Don't worry about anything. Cast all of those cares. Cast all of those cares upon me because I care for you. Don't worry. Don't allow them to fill you with doubt and to fear and worry because I love you. I am for you. And all things are possible with me. And it may not come instantaneously. Are you with me? How many of you ever had a garden? Have you ever had a pot plant or something that you planted? You ever, anybody? Well, you didn't put the seed in the ground and then go out. Are you listening? You plant the seed one day and you go out the next morning and say, well, where is the tree? Where's the flower? Where's the bush? Where's the fruit? What's wrong with that stupid seed? Are you with me? You let patience have her perfect work. You let patience. You know you planted it. You watered it. You fertilized. You did everything within your power. God makes it grow. Amen. So if you don't get it right away, and maybe it might take a week. It might take a month. It may take a year. But your faith, are you listening? Your faith is being exercised. Faith is like a muscle. Everybody go home, get set in your lazy boy chair, and don't get up for a year. Well, it won't be long before you won't be able to get up because you've got to get up and move. It's faith is such a thing that it has to be moved. It has to. Amen. Are you with me? We understand. And so then we, with patience, we don't get upset because it doesn't happen. I've seen people that we've been praying for sometimes 20 years, but we didn't give up. And one day God saved them. I don't know what He had to take them through to get them to that point, but He knows. And He's not willing that they perish. So, hope. Hope is faith being tried. Patience is our faith being tried. Our trust, our confidence, our assurance in God. We're not going to worry about it. We're going to pray about it. We're going to cast all of our worries and cares upon God. And if it doesn't come, sometimes it happens immediately. I've seen some things. Has anybody, Christians here, you ever prayed a prayer and it was almost answered almost immediately and you knew it was God? Boy, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And then some things you're still praying for. Maybe it haven't happened yet. But if it's God's will, He says, cast all your cares upon you. Upon Him, He cares for you. Amen? So don't give up. Don't cast your faith away. Don't throw away your hope. Trust Him. Amen? Let's everybody stand. Father, we just want to thank You for this day. We thank you, Lord, for that hope, that grace, that mercy, that peace, that assurance, all of those wonderful things that you've so richly provided for us because you loved us before we were ever even born. You loved us in spite of ourselves. You sent your Son to take our sins and bear our sins in His body on the cross so that we might experience your love and your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness and that oneness with you. And that ability to be able to come and ask you, come before our Heavenly Father and ask. As your word says, we have not because we ask not. Help us to come and ask, Lord, and see the answers to our prayers so our joy would be full. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.